This is Spotlight on Lead Poisoning, brought to you by Southern United Neighborhoods, a nonprofit that works on environmental issues and helps people buy their own homes and fix their credit. Call them at 1-800-239-7379 or go on the web at southernunitedneighborhoods.org for more information. My name is Marie.
She can't tell time. She can't really read. Tiana is 20 now, and developmentally, she's about 12. When you're exposed to toxic chemicals, it tends to do things to the brain that you can't control.
Yeah, because there's a lot of white suits come in, you know, it's 5, 6, 7, 8 people at one time coming to your unit, and they all covered up and you're not, and you like wondering, like, is I'm contaminated?
Before your kid can go to school, there's shots that has to be taken. They would literally stick their fingers and do blood tests. My oldest 3 having lead in their blood. Let me tell you something. This development itself held almost 1,500 people. Just this development, right? And out of all of the big 4 is what they were called, all you could come up with was 2,000 people. And to give these children a $17,000 check and say, we did right by you, is criminal.
The lady next door to me was qualified, her and her 3, 4 children. We lived in the same building. And they tell you one thing, and then once they get what they want, you're pushed to the side.
If anybody that, like I said, lived in public housing qualifies.
I'm past angry. I'm upset. I'm holding it all in because my children is really affected of it. And it's, and I keep saying that because I don't know who I turn to.
Knowing that there are lawyers that's fighting over $30 million that came from a settlement for lead poisoning. And I know at least 20 families I know personally that didn't receive a dime.
My name is Payne Wilkinson from Detroit, Michigan. I'm a political science major at the university. My research was the impacts of air pollution, lead poisoning on aggressive behavior. Some of the links that we connected with air pollution and aggressive behavior is the impact that it has on students' performance in school and how it actually keeps them out of school. So in areas where they have hotspots or high concentrations of air pollution, students are facing asthma attacks, and at a higher level compared on a national comparative level, those asthma attacks are actually keeping students out of school, and those absent days equate to information being lost. And we actually connected the research of Dr. Whitehurst. Prison cells and reading scores, and they actually developed a formula to where they connect the amount of prison beds to the test scores of individual students. So that's where the connection of air pollution and violent behavior come into play. Lead poisoning is more of a direct connection. When individuals are poisoned with lead, one of the major symptoms of lead poisoning is aggressive behavior. America's standard is 10 micrograms of lead poisoning in the blood, whereas Norway is 5 micrograms of lead poisoning in the blood. And there's actually a a medical technologist who actually said that 1 microgram of lead in the blood is lead poisoning or can lead to lead poisoning.
Well, Norman, New Orleans is a historic city with many historic homes, many in this area, in fact, and often they require lead testing. But now that they're finding lead in playgrounds, specifically in the paint on some of the structures, and actually here, right here in the bare soil, well, the reality of what that means for families is really setting in.
No, that's not good news at all.
Ann Malkovich takes her toddler Mia to Daniil Play Spot every day. News that portions of Daniil, Annunciation, and Taylor playgrounds will be closed due to high lead levels has her worried. Her daughter plays at two of them.
She cut her hands and there was dirt, and now that you're telling me this, now I want to go to the hospital.
The tests show 11 out of 13 city playgrounds have lead, but these three with the highest levels will be fenced off for the next 6 weeks while remediation takes place.
We're going to cordon off the play spot areas where there's playground equipment and there's bare soil around.
Eight others will also be treated for lead. Easton, Van McMurray, Hunter's Field, Burke, Lehman 2, Stalling Center, Comiskey, and Treme Center.
We're here almost every afternoon, so actually it's going to be really difficult while they're remediating to stay away, but yeah, we'll definitely come back if they're going to fix the problem.
City leaders suggest children between the ages of 6 months and 6 years of age get tested as a precaution. They warn lead is in New Orleans soil because it is an historic city. But
it's preventable if you avoid and wash hands and wash clothes and are conscious about the fact that we could be exposed.
That's what the Bozeman family always did when they visited Mickey Markey Park in the Bywater. Even so, when tests showed it had lead,
once we heard about the lead, we went, did our proper testing.
That park reopened earlier this month after remediation efforts. Back at Daniil Play Spot, Ann Malkovich wonders if the city is downplaying the issue, especially because no signs were posted Tuesday afternoon.
You know, if we all knew it, the switchboard would light up. It would be panic.
Now, any pediatrician or health center can test the blood for lead. Also, if you're on Medicaid, if your child is on Medicaid, you can go to the city's primary care clinics. That's in Algiers, Central City, and also out in New Orleans East, and you can have your child tested for lead. Also, any children that are turning up deemed high risk, if you will, well, those are going to be monitored by both the city and the state, and they are going to make sure that those children get access to treatment. Live on your side, Uptown, Rachel Wolf, WDSU News.
All right, Rachel. However, two of the playgrounds that were tested do not need lead mitigation. They are A.L. Davis and Norwood Thompson Playground. To see a map of lead hotspots in affected playgrounds, go to WDSU.com and click on As Seen on WDSU.
It's a dangerous toxin for children that is essentially undetectable. Lead. It was banned from paint in the 70s, from plumbing in the 80s, to finally automobile fuel in the 90s. However, the one area where lead still flies high, aviation fuel. Specifically, the fuel used in most small planes.
We're talking about tons and tons of lead that are being contributed to the environment as a result of using it in leaded gasolines or aviation gasoline.
The lack of regulation when it comes to leaded aviation gasoline or avgas has caught the eye of Tulane professor Dr. Howard Milkey, who was also involved in getting rid of lead in automobile gasoline decades ago. In recent years, it's lead from these planes that make up more than half of the lead emissions in the U.S.
It's an easily overlooked problem, and that's because it's totally invisible. When you use a lead in gasoline and the exhaust turns out to be totally invisible.
But this invisible danger could have lasting effects on small children. Exposure to lead can cause brain damage, developmental delays, diabetes, and learning disabilities, which is why in 2012, the Centers for Disease Control said there is no safe level of lead exposure. There are 20,000 airports across the country that use leaded avgas, with millions of people who live around them, including 3 million kids. Researchers at Duke University found that those children living within 500 meters of the airports have higher levels of lead in the blood than children who live farther away.
But yet children in their hand-to-mouth activities are picking this material up very easily. And children are extremely sensitive to exposure to lead.
In 2008, the EPA began examining lead emissions from 3,000 U.S. airports where leaded avgas is used. Four airports in southeast Louisiana were in the top 300, with Lakefront Airport leading the Louisiana airports in lead emissions, followed by Baton Rouge Metropolitan. The WDSUI team went to green spaces around area airports to sample soil levels for lead. We gathered more than 50 samples from Hammond Airport, Houma, Terrebonne Airport, Slidell, Lakefront, and even Armstrong International. We sent the soil samples to the LSU Soil and Testing Lab and a Caligari lab in Baton Rouge to check what chemical compounds were in the dirt.
Hello?
And if there were any alarming levels of lead.
You're not going to eat the soil, but you got to worry about children. That's the thing. That's why we get a lot of samples, because people like their animals or their children, they're worried about maybe eating some of the soil.
Out of the five airports, Hammond Airport had the highest lead level at 107.07 milligrams per kilogram.
This came out to be more than 107, so would you consider that high?
That's very high. I wouldn't want any child playing in anything, even, you know, at the maximum, maybe 40 is protective of the child.
The soil samples came from green spaces surrounding several subdivisions and homes.
But again, you wouldn't want a child playing in something like that.
No, not at all.
When we gathered our soil samples, we dug about 6 inches into the ground. However, Milky says the most dangerous portion of the soil is going to be the surface, because that's where the concentration of this lead is falling. Three environmental watchdog groups are petitioning the EPA to take action and work to limit leaded aviation gasoline. Friends of the Earth is one of those groups fighting for more than a decade to have leaded emissions from aircrafts regulated.
They need to know that lead is a problem and that EPA needs to do something about it right now to protect public health. We've asked EPA to make what's known as an endangerment finding, that these lead emissions are a danger to public health and they need to be phased out. And EPA has so far not taken that step.
Marcy Kiever with FOE says it's possible for 75% of small engine planes to go lead free right now. It just needs to be made available.
So folks should engage with their local airport when they can and see if unleaded can be made available, and it would make a huge difference in the emissions that are coming right now on our communities and our families.
Currently, there are four different companies working on creating unleaded gas for small planes, and more planes are being built to utilize that kind of fuel.
The aircraft manufacturers are building the engines for essentially MOGAS, high-octane MOGAS, which is unleaded, but the pilots insist on using leaded gasoline.
Milky says it's an old school way of thinking when it comes to pilots feeling safe in the air. However, during his time petitioning for unleaded gas in automobiles, it was found that unleaded gas was actually better on the engine.
When they used leaded gasoline, they had to put other substances in the gasoline to try to move the lead through the engine.
And that caused problems with tailpipes and exhaust pipes needing to be replaced more rapidly. In addition to protecting vehicles, the lack of lead in the gas also proved to protect children.
When we took it out, there was almost a 90% reduction in blood lead of the children of the United States. And it was phenomenal.
The EPA is currently monitoring airports and general aircraft before finally making a decision. Milky is confident that the EPA will follow the same road in regulating aviation gas as it did with the automobile industry, and in doing so, ending the legacy of lead in the United States. On your side, I'm Randy Russo, WDSU News.
The leaded gasoline is not used in jet fuel, in which major airlines use. There are approximately 167,000 aircrafts in the U.S. that currently use leaded aviation gas for operations.
The use of lead pipes was outlawed decades ago, but did you know the infrastructure here in New Orleans still has lead pipes, and officials don't know how many are out there. WDSU News reporter Rosa Flores has been digging into the dangers and has another story you will see only on 6.
You can't see them, but hundreds of miles of water mains connect New Orleans homes. And some of those pipes could be contaminating tap water. WDSU learned that until a few decades ago, lead pipes were widely used for service lines that carry water from street mains to homes in the city of New Orleans, making it the only water system in the state exposed to this hazardous metal. Dr. Howard Milkey, the scientist who uncovered lead contamination in soil, conducted a water quality study before Katrina and says that at the time, the water was safe.
Well within limits. And we had very sensitive equipment. We were able to do the analysis of water samples at that time.
But he's worried about a change in the water treatment process.
From what I can see from the water system right now, they now use chloramine, which is fairly corrosive compared to the former treatments that were being used.
Take a look at the water purification system. It's the combination of chlorine and ammonia that Milkey says could corrode lead pipes, introduce small particles of lead into the water system, and go undetected.
There's some good evidence, and especially the city of Washington, D.C., that this is a fairly corrosive combination. The problem of very small particles of lead showing up in the water that are not easy, that would be missed from simply taking a water sample, they're particles of lead that come in with the water.
We checked the latest water safety report, and it shows that the maximum lead allowable is 15 parts per billion. Right now, the East Bank is at 9, the West Bank is at 4, and Sewage and Water Board says that these testing samples are taken both at the plant and at the faucet. Which begs the question, if lead pipes connect water mains to homes, what good does it do to test at the plant level?
We're not worried about that because the process, again, the process that we have provides a process that actually coats and lines the line. So we're not sending lead into homes. We're comfortable with that.
Sewage and Water Board says residents have nothing to fear. That water in New Orleans is safe.
We've never had a situation where we said you need to look again at your testing. So I think we're good in that regard.
Now, I talked to the EPA, and the agency tells me that there is no record that shows just how many lead pipes are in the city of New Orleans, but they do say that it is the only city in the state of Louisiana with this particular infrastructure. Now, I talked to the Sewage and Water Board, and they tell me that as these lead pipes get damaged, they are being replaced with non-lead piping. Now, as for potential corrosion, the scientists that I talked to say that it's very difficult to say just how long it would take for corrosion to occur, and because there are just too many variables that would determine that. Now, we are on your side this morning with what experts say you should do to protect yourself, and I have those tips for you in about 30 minutes. That's the latest here from Algiers. I'm Rosa Flores for WDSU News. Randy, back.
There's been so much talk about the health hazards brought on by Katrina that little attention is being paid to a health hazard in Orleans Parish long before the storm hit. Medical reporter Meg Ferris explains what it is.
While there are big health concerns with soil in parts of New Orleans, according to Xavier University environmental toxicologist Dr. Howard Milkey, it has nothing to do with Katrina.
25% of our children before Katrina were being lead poisoned within the inner city. This is a serious problem. It's an epidemic, and it's been very difficult to deal with.
His lab is lined with 10,000 local soil samples, and testing shows there's enough lead to make people sick, especially children and pets.
Learning disabilities, retardation, other chronic diseases, kidney disorders, diabetes, these are all connected with lead exposure. Childhood lead exposure showing up later on in life as heart problems, as you know, bone diseases that, you know, osteoporosis.
The lead, he says, is coming from paint that was used on homes until 1978 and gasoline used in the 60s, 70s, and early 80s. His map shows it's the older sections of Orleans Parish that are the most contaminated, and the post-Katrina renovation is making it much worse.
There's a lot of sanding taking place in the city. This is a real serious problem because with all of this renovation that's occurring, it's really uncontrolled right now. And the sanding is once again releasing lead into the environment. We already know that the environment of the city of New Orleans had way too much lead.
And the very dry weather is compounding the situation.
When there's a droughty period of time, the children in the city have an increased blood lead level. When it's a wet period of time, the blood lead levels go down.
But Dr. Milky says there is a quick local way to fix this problem. Clean dirt he brought in from the Bonnie Carey spillway and put over the contamination not only offered protection, it stayed where they put it after the weeks of Katrina floods. He says it's better than digging up all the bad soil.
If you start trying to take material away, you run into all sorts of barriers, the legal barriers, what's a hazardous waste. You don't want to get it on a truck and go down the city street with this soil blowing all over the place.
And the Louisiana Department of Environmental Quality confirms there is a potential problem of elevated lead levels. But they say how it would be cleaned, who will pay, and if it is necessary is yet to be studied. So meanwhile, protect yourself, your children, and your pets. Go to WWLTV.com to get a free brochure emailed to you.
Very important. Thanks, Meg.
Thanks, Meg.
Tonight, in a Fox 8 investigation, we uncover lead levels in drinking water in some area schools higher than pediatricians recommend.
Yeah, Fox 8 scoured through dozens of pages of lead level testing results. Kimberly Kurth investigates.
We know Flint doesn't have the finances to be able to handle this or the resources.
Following the water crisis in Flint, Michigan.
I would certainly not bathe a newborn child or a young infant in this bad water.
The American Academy of Pediatrics called for stricter regulations for children's drinking water. They recommend that lead concentrations at school water fountains don't exceed one part per billion. The Academy says even at half the levels previously considered safe, growing evidence shows a child's exposure to lead can cause irreversible cognitive and behavioral problems.
Very low doses affect them, whereas it wouldn't affect us. So that is something we need to be concerned about. And then remember, you know, this is something that accumulates. You know, it accumulates in your body throughout your life.
A Fox 8 investigation found that some samples taken from local schools were higher than that one part per billion recommendation. Right now, school systems in Louisiana are not legally required to test for water lead levels unless they're on their own water system. That's because oftentimes the school system uses water from the city utility, and that utility's water must undergo both federal and state lead and copper monitoring. But the EPA offers guidance for school systems that choose to test for lead and recommends taking action whenever there are elevated lead water levels in schools. Jefferson Parish Public School spokesman Ted Beasley says they were proactive and hired a private company to do testing at 20 schools over the summer.
Obviously, I think it would always be best if there were zero levels of lead. And I think in that test, 90% of the fountains they tested had zero levels of lead.
Fox 8 obtained those results through a public records request and found a sample taken from a cafeteria water fountain at Mildred Harris Elementary came back at 23.3 parts per billion. Remember, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends lead levels don't exceed one part per billion.
Were parents notified about that elevated lead level?
Yeah, parents have been notified at Harris Elementary.
And should they be concerned about that level?
No, they shouldn't be concerned now because the problem's been taken care of. And then I think that was the only, if I remember correctly, that was the only fountain at the school that had the problem. So the water coming in, there's not a systemic problem. It was just in that one location.
While lead wasn't detected in most of the samples taken in the 20 Jefferson Parish Public Schools tested, water fountains at G.T. Woods Elementary, East Jefferson High, Phoebe Hurst Elementary, Ford Middle, Ellender Middle School, John Arrett High, West Jefferson High, and BA St. Bill Elementary all had samples that tested above the American Academy of Pediatrics recommendation.
We were pleased with the results from the testing, but we know that we need to keep that going as well. I'd want parents to know that the safety of their student, that's our top responsibility.
Earlier this year, the legislature passed a law requiring the state health department test annually for lead in water at selected public elementary schools.
There's been a lot of concern about lead in drinking water since Flint, Michigan issues cropped up, and schools around the country who are now looking at their aging infrastructure are wondering, do they have lead in their water in their schools?
As part of a new pilot program, the Louisiana Department of Health tested 12 schools across the state built prior to 1986 that had no plumbing or water fountain changes since that time.
There are a lot of old schools in our state, obviously, and we want to know, are children being exposed to lead when they don't need to be?
In our area, the state tested 5 schools. At Dwight D. Eisenhower Academy of Global Studies in New Orleans, a kitchen sample came back at 15 parts per billion. At Covington Elementary School, a kitchen sample showed a lead result of 12 parts per billion. And at a Harahan Elementary water fountain, the state found lead at 7 parts per billion. Guidry says while the results were better than expected, it doesn't mean there aren't problems.
But I think there are schools out there that may have this issue. So we really want to promote talking to school systems that they may want to look at their water in their schools because of the aging infrastructure, the aging buildings, the aging water fountains, so that they can rule out that this is a risk.
LSU health researcher Adrian Kattner has studied lead in New Orleans drinking water for years. She says the American Academy of Pediatrics recommendation of 1 part per billion is very hard to achieve.
Because NSF allows up to 5 parts per billion of lead to leach into the water from brass faucet fixtures. So some other people say 5 parts per billion might be a good thing to aim for. It might be more realistic than 1 part per billion.
And as our investigation continues Wednesday night at 9, we will have the results of lead and copper testing at a North Shore school and why those levels raise concern.
You have been listening to Spotlight on WAMF LP New Orleans on 90.3 FM and streaming at WAMF.org. A recording of this broadcast and subsequent broadcasts are available at SouthernUnitedNeighborhoods.org.